The greatest tragedy in life is not death. The greatest tragedy in life is living and not know why you live. Hallelujah. And there are certain things, we shared a little bit of it last week. There are certain questions that you need to ask yourself, and I need to ask myself, regarding life, otherwise it doesn't make sense. Are you all right? And one of those questions is, who am I? The average person cannot answer this question. We imitate other people. We wear their clothes, we wear their shoes, we wear their hairstyle, we color our hairs like them. And we try to look like them, and many times we don't know who we are because we're trying to imitate somebody that we are not. And when you do, you're not being true to yourself. And someone one time, and I'll tell you, he's always trying to copy other churches. He's a minister. It doesn't matter what conference he goes to, comes back and changes his church. Then goes to another conference, comes back and changes his church, and goes to another conference. And he tried to imitate what everybody else is saying and trying to imitate what other churches, and not true to the thing that God has given to him. Hallelujah. And he tried to imitate a particular church model. It didn't happen very well. And in the end, he left his church. And I said to the Lord, you know, what is happening? Now, you have to understand, this is what I heard God saying to me. He said, he doesn't do what I gave him. Tries to take somebody else's thing. It doesn't work for him because he's copying it. He's not real to himself. He's not real to the vision that is within his heart. And this is what God said to me, and it'll probably shock you. Shocked me. I mean, I was bending over the sink, and I just... And he said, it's like somebody trying to have a sex change. It's like me trying to be un-Samoan myself and Europeanize myself. I can't do that. See, God made me a Samoan. That if I try to do something else, that means I disagree with who made me. And sometimes I will not ever know who I am until I can answer that question. Who are you? Hallelujah. And there are people who will destroy their lives trying to find who they are. In every country, there's about 50 Elvis Presley imitators. Why do people imitate other people when God made them who they are? Hallelujah. Who am I is a question of identity. And we shared last week that three most crucial, these three things will drive you until you discover them. And if you don't find them, you'll spend the rest of your life trying to discover them. And some people even take their lives because they can't find them. Hallelujah. It's your identity. Hallelujah. Your security and your self-worth. Those three things are more important than what you eat. They're more important than what you wear. That's why Jesus said life is more than clothes and more than food. Because if you don't know who you are, you'll look here. It'll drive you bananas to find who you are. You're looking for your identity. You're looking for your security. And you're looking for your self-worth. And you don't know your self-worth until you know who you are. And I come across a lot of people, and they're always looking for their parent. If they are abandoned and they don't know who their parents are, they're always especially looking for their dad. Why? Because it's your dad primarily that gives you his name and gives you an identity. Are you all right? And you will be a driven woman, a driven man, a driven young person if you can't find those things. But the funny thing is, you can only find those three things ultimately in God. I shared with you, I spoke at a conference in Rotorua with my wife, and there was a man there who came from Australia. I'll not tell you his name, but he'd never known his parents. He was raised in an orphanage. He did not know his mom and he did not know his dad. So he can only go back to him. He's got no past in that sense. There's no other person he can go back to. Where did I come from? It starts with him. His wife is got parents and grandparents, so the children can trace their genealogy in their mom's side to their great-grandparents, but in their father's side, just start with them. And I thought, wow, how did he get over that? He that is in Christ is a new creation. Old things are past. Behold, all things are become new. He discovered the source of his identity, security, and self-worth. And he was just great. And I spoke the first night of the conference, and he got up in the morning, starting off in the morning. He was an older man than I, been in ministry for many years. And he said, "What were you doing in my room last night? Because what you preach was what I was going to preach." Hallelujah. And then he said something to me, and I've never forgotten this. He said, "I don't know this," but he was a prophet, very prophetic. But he sees things in the spirit, and he said, "I saw you last night, but what I saw horrified me because I've never seen anything like that before." I said, "Oh, I hope it's nice." You know, you don't like hanging around prophetic people. They look at you. And you don't want to hang around like this, so they might see you. And he said, "I saw you standing there. There was a loincloth, but you were tattooed from halfway up your back down to below your knees." And he said, "I've never seen anything like that. And it horrified me." He said, "Sir, do you know what that means?" I said, "Yeah." That's what we have in Samoa. The Samoan Tatau. And for the rest of the conference, he used to call me the statesman. He said, "I understand that. What you saw was not something weird. It was something that's very natural in my world." But the funny thing is, he was so secure, but he doesn't even know who his dad is. Why? He discovered his real dad. See, the Bible says, when your parents throw you away, I'll take you. And his father to the fatherless and judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God watches over the widows. He makes sure their stuff is not, they're not mistreated. He is the judge that sits on the chair of the church to judge the things pertaining the widows and the fatherless. Are you all right? And he said, I can't wait to finish building my church, because the first photo that goes up on the thing is the there was a word he used. I think he's the bishop. I said, "Who's the bishop?" He said, "It's my dad." I said, "I thought you don't know your dad." He said, "It's Frank Houston. It's the only father I've ever known. And when I built my church, the biggest portrait in the church, it'll be the most prominent place in the church, will be the portrait of the bishop," he said. Hallelujah. And you need to answer that question. Who am I? Otherwise, it will drive you bananas. I was going to say coconut, but... The second question that we need to answer is, where am I from? I'm from Rarotonga. Why are the Maoris always identifying themselves with their morai? Hallelujah. Let me give you a very, very something that you'll probably say, Pastor, we're... Hallelujah. You know the word Beulah in the Bible means people of the land, means to be married to the land. And to the Maori, land is land whether it's developed or not. Or to the European, you have to develop a land to give it value. To the Maori, the land has value developed or not. Full of thistles, it's still valuable. Develop, it's still valuable. But the developing of a piece of land to a Maori does not give it value. It was already valuable. Let me throw this at you. And don't throw it back at me. The greatest business is real estate. God promised Abraham a piece of... Abraham's blessing was a real estate. When they came out of Egypt, they were going to a piece of real estate. When you find real estate, buy the thing if you can afford it. Very quiet. Better carry on before somebody throws something at me. David conquered all the kingdoms at the time. Why? He was enlarging his real estate. Hallelujah. We'll get to that. Praise the Lord. The Indian problem is a real estate problem. The Aboriginal problem is a real estate problem. The Maori European problem is a real estate problem. God's problem is real estate. You're thinking now, ain't you? Where are you from? Where am I from? When Jesus came, if you read it in the book of John, he said, I came from the Father, I'm going back to the Father. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Hallelujah. Receive you unto myself, that where I am, you shall be also. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Heaven is a real estate. Heaven, listen, goodness me. Never mind, let's carry on. So the second question of where are you from or where am I from is a question of source, of origin. And that question is the problem we've got in the planet today. Because you tell your children they came from God. When they go to school, they came from monkeys. And when you don't know where you're from, some ding-dong will have a degree and will tell you where you're supposed to be from. If they're from monkeys, fine, but I'm not. Hallelujah. So we invent where we come from. Why? Because it's a question that needs to be answered. And we educate our children in universities all over the world that this is where we are from. But if you ask your 9-year-old boy, where are we from? And you tell your boy, oh, we're from monkeys. Like the couple, you know, she was a Christian, he was not. And she was telling the kid, you know, the son, you're from God, you know, we're created in God's image. We carry His image with us everywhere we go. We are spirit, soul, and body. We are triune. God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And God made us in His image. And then the boy will go and ask his dad, and the dad will tell him, ah, oh, son, we came from apes. It's been proven. It hasn't been proven. It has to be observable to prove it. It has not been observable. The people that perpetrate that nonsense said, well, it's happened in 6 million, however many million years. Well, if you count back 50 million years, there should be an ape made out, a human come out of ape right now, because 50 million years ago, it started. All right, and it started, and then it come right down here. If it started, it should, hello? How come it's not happening? Because it's stupid. And then the boy went over and said to the mom, I thought you told me that we come from God. Dad said we come from apes. Did we come from God, come from apes? And she said, oh, that's your dad's side of the family. Who's in that side of the family? Hallelujah. And we talk about, why am I here? And that is a question of purpose. Why are you here? What are you doing here? What is your purpose for being alive? Hallelujah. Now, what is purpose? You know, the Bible has much to say about purpose. Let me give you a scripture from the Old Testament. It says this. And you read it before. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the sun. And we shared last week, there is a purpose for marriage. If you don't know the purpose for marriage, don't get married. there is a purpose for a wife. If you don't know the purpose of a wife, don't have one. There's a purpose for a husband. If you don't know the purpose for a husband, don't have one. Just don't. If you don't know the purpose for children, don't have children. Otherwise, you will abuse them. Hallelujah. There is a purpose for everything under the sun. And there is a purpose and a reason why you're here. And as we said in the beginning of this message, death is not the ultimate tragedy. Death is not. The ultimate dilemma is living and not know why you live. There's a purpose for a watch. There is a purpose for glasses. There's a purpose for clothing. If you don't know the purpose for clothing, don't get any. Everything has a purpose. There's a reason why. Hallelujah. And the purpose of something is in the mind of who made that something. Hallelujah. It's the original intent of the manufacturer. Now, we said this. When you don't know the purpose of something, you will abuse it. If you don't know the purpose of a washing machine, we'll mix concrete in it just because it spins. If you don't know the purpose of a radiator in a car, you'll put petrol in it. If you don't know the purpose of petrol in a car, you'll put water in it or diesel in a... Hello? You put diesel in a petrol car. Hello? Somebody's done it. The purpose of diesel is for diesel engines, not for petrol engines. And where purpose is unknown, abuse is inevitable. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, nobody knows Ford cars better than Ford. No one knows Suzuki better than Suzuki. Hallelujah. Why? They know their product and they know the intent that they had. They know the capacity of that product and what that product can do. And we shared a little bit of this a month or so ago about my Ford car. That thing can do 216 km, about 180 something miles an hour. 185, I think. I may never drive that car at that capacity, but it still can move in that capacity. Now, whether I repaint that car, it does not change its capacity. If I sell that car, it doesn't change its capacity. Why? Because the manufacturer who manufactured the car knows the capacity of the car, and he will put his reputation on it. Hallelujah. Now, I may drive that car at 50 Ks for the rest of its life and the rest of my life. It doesn't mean that the car can only do 50 Ks. Now, many of you have been driving 50 Ks when you could have done 280, and you are impressed at somebody that just passed you doing 55. you both are underusing the potential that God has given you, and you will live and die and never know your potential. That's why the richest place on the planet is not the gold mines of South Africa or the diamond mines in Africa. It's Adamaho. Buried in Adamaho are treasures that were never used. There are books in Adamaho that were never written. There are songs in Adamaho that were never sung. There are inventions in Adamaho that were never invented because people just satisfied with driving at 50 k's when the original author, the author and the finisher of our faith said, you can do this, but we are scared or lazy to do it, and we die, we make the graveyard rich with potential because we never reach our potential. We just drove at 50 and then impress at 55 and never do nothing. What is your purpose for being here? Let me ask you another question. What is the purpose of that center? There's a reason why it's there. There's a reason why we are building it. Build the thing! I'm not angry, I'm just trying to emphasize. Why do we have that? It's not there to decorate your... Hello? Why did we purchase a property at the back? Hello? There's a purpose and a reason why. Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
Hey, are you okay?
Yes.
Is it all right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you find your purpose, you will dominate in the area of the gifting God gives to you. Because everybody is given gifts and potentials by God to fulfill what God has called them to do. Now, many times people live and die and they discover their gifting, but they don't use it for God. Hallelujah. But when you know what God has given to you, when you understand even remotely the kind of potential God has given to you, you're going to dominate in that area of your life. You know, the Bible says, said to Adam, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion. You will have dominion in the area that you are gifted in. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Is this all right? All right. Now, Elvis Presley was gifted in music, singing. He dominated the planet. Hello? Why? He discovered his gifting and his purpose. it really concerns me. I was going to say really irks me. Because many of those arty people discover their purpose in the church, then they go to the world. Katy Perry is the daughter of an Assemblies of God pastor in England. And she was interviewed one time and I was watching it. There was her and the Beatle guy, what's his name? Paul McCartney. And she said, oh, I didn't like it. Everybody was going to enjoy themselves. We had a prayer meeting. Hello? And most of the artists that sing, you know, I don't think God created them to sing to just entertain sinners and not glorify His name. But the point is this, they discover their gift and their purpose and they dominate in the area of their gifting. Enid Blyton. Now that's going back a long time. Let's come forward a little bit. Wilbur Smith. Huh? God gifted him and he dominates in the area of that gifting. And people all over the world follow Wilbur Smith. Most of them have never met him, but they follow him. The sparrow falls when the lion feeds. Hello? Why do people follow him? He becomes a leader in his field because he's discovered his purpose and his gifting is a part of what God has given to him. And he dominates in that area. And in releasing his gift to bless the world, he makes a living. Most of you have jobs. It's about time you start working. Your job and your work are not the same. And some of you will sacrifice everything for your job and never do nothing for God. Some people only discover their work after they resign from their job. Now, if your job and your work are the same, somebody will pay you for doing what God called you to do. And it's beautiful. Fancy being paid for being a Maori. It's like, hello? Are you okay? And when you find your purpose, you're one of the most satisfied people on the planet. Why? You just discovered what Jesus said. I'll give you life and life more abundantly. Are you okay? Is this all right? So when you find your purpose, the Bible says, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, those who are the called according to His purpose. Mother Teresa, unknown, no degree, just a heart for God, discovered her purpose and she dominated. Have you ever come across a little old lady, a nun, who told the President of the United States off? And get away with it! She did. Told President Clinton off. Now nobody in the United States will ever tell the President. They'll get locked up! But you got a little old lady who discovered her purpose, find her gifting, and told the president off. Why? She dominates in the area of her gifting. No general in the States will do that. No politician in the States will do that. Mother Teresa did it. Are you all right? Say amen. Now, come here. She sings, she leads worship, and she dominates in that area. And every time she opens her mouth, the power of God comes out. Why? Because she's not only, she's anointed. Hallelujah. We went to Christ Church and I got her to sing. And she was singing, she forgot the a line in the middle of the song. And the pastor said, I thought the thing was a tape. I didn't realize that. I said, I heard that. I said, man. And then he forgot the line. And I realized it's actually, you know, I thought she was imitating a song. Then she forgets the line. Maybe she forgot the line just for the pastor's sake. But when she did, the pastor, that's her singing. Why? She discovered her gifting. Thank you. And she dominates in that area. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Now, Tiger Woods never went to a leadership school, but millions of people follow Tiger Woods. Why? Discovered his gifting. And he dominates in the area of his gifting. Are you guys? Tell me. These two are prophetic. And they dominate in that area. Gary is not a singer. So he never dominates in that area. But we try. My brother married a Maori girl. Ngāpuhi. And I was singing in the bathroom the other day. And she said, are you all right in there? Is somebody trying to strangle you? Cheeky Maori. And then she said to me when I got out of the bath, whatever you do, don't take up singing as a living. She said, you'll starve. There's a purpose for why you're here. You're not here by accident. God don't make mistakes. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and all your days were apportioned by him, hallelujah, from the beginning to the end. And he did not make a mistake. If you discover that purpose, it's great. If you don't, it's not God's fault. Hallelujah. What's the purpose of the church? Hallelujah. Why do you worship? What's the purpose of a pastor? If you don't know the purpose of a pastor, let him go. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Did you know the purpose of a pastor is not to get souls saved? purpose of a pastor is to equip the saints so the saints can go and get souls saved. Have you ever seen a shepherd having a sheep? See, if you don't know the purpose of something, if the purpose is unknown, if abuse is inevitable. Hallelujah. We can carry on with this next week, can't we? If I'm here next week. Hallelujah. Now, some of you, you know, hallelujah. Some of you have a computer, and the only thing you know to use the computer for is send emails. And you wasted your time buying the computer because you wasted money. Because why? You're not using it. Why? Because you never read the manual. You just went to somebody that knows how to, and you don't read the manual to know what you've got. So you only use one function out of a million. Hello? Because you never read the manual. You know what this is? This is a manual. It tells you the original intention of the author. It tells you what he wants you to do. Hello? Your purpose for being here. Hallelujah. Let me give you one more thing, then we'll finish for today because my time is, I've got 4 minutes. Have a look at Acts 17. We've used this scripture very, very often in the past, and we use it again just recently. But I want you to see something that we've never talked about in that scripture. So if you go to Acts 17, it'll be, we'll close there. We'll finish there for today. Acts 17, verse 24. Therefore, the one whom you worship, without knowing him, I proclaim to you. That's end of verse 23. But 24 says, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. He gives to all life their breath and everything. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. He's made from one blood. You may be black, but you're made from one blood. You may be white, but we're all made from how many blood? One. Hallelujah. If you throw every color that is known into a bowl and spin and mix it up, what color do you come with? Up with? What's that? Black. Hallelujah. So we come from one blood. But this is what he said. He made from one blood every nation. So there is a purpose for nations. He made from one blood every nation of man to dwell on all the face of the earth. So he made nations to populate the earth. And then he says this, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their. So it's we use that as our natural boundary as individuals. But it's the boundaries of the nations and their pre-appointed time. All right. Let me now give you few facts, then we'll finish because my time is up. Babylon was a nation. It was a kingdom ask you a question. Is it a kingdom anymore? No. Why? God preappoints the time and the boundaries. Egypt was a kingdom, dominated the earth. Is it a kingdom? No. Greece. Hello? Is it? No. Persia. No. Why? Because every nation has a purpose, but it is God who predetermines, preappoints the purpose of that nation and the time they're supposed to dominate things. And it's God that brings it to a close. Let me ask you a question. When I was growing up, the kingdom of Great Britain was everywhere. Is it? No. Why? Because God preappoints nations and their purpose, and when they do it and when they don't do it. Are you okay? Hallelujah. Now those places and those that domination of those, it's gone. Why? God determines, made out of one blood, all nations, and appoints their boundaries, their time, hallelujah, their purpose.